meeting will come to order. Please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Carter?
Here.
Mr. Carnahan?
Here.
Ms. Diller?
Here.
Ms. Durham?
Here.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Here.
Mr. Hollins?
Here.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Here.
Mr. Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Smiling?
Here.
Mr. Street?
Here.
Mr. Tackett?
Here.
Mr. Woods? Madam President, the roll reveals 12 present, 1 absent.
Thank you. Is there a motion to correct or amend the minutes of May 14, 2019?
Motion to approve and distribute.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Are there any announcements from members of council? Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes, I know we have a busy evening, but Councilwoman Diller and I, at the appropriate time, will have a very short presentation.
Thank you. Are there any others? Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. Ordinance 17-095, 17-096 remains tabled this evening.
Thank you. Mr. Cartier?
I also have a presentation this evening.
Are there any other comments or questions? Yes, Mr. Tackett?
At the appropriate time, myself as well as Councilwoman Kilpatrick will have a floor amendment to offer to Ordinance 19005.
Thank you. Ms. Diller?
Thank you. As well, we have three or four amendments which have been distributed.
Thank you. May I ask, Ms. Kilpatrick, was there two that you put forth? So there's only four altogether instead of five?
What?
Four amendments.
There's five.
Five, okay. Thank you. Next, our introduction of ordinances. All ordinances shall be considered at the next regular council meeting, except for those items that require board or commission recommendations. Madam Clerk, please read in the introduction of ordinances.
Ordinance 19053, amend the FY 2019 approved sewer fund operating budget, realign budgetary funding of $115,000 within the Department of Public Works to fund electric for the pump stations. Ordinance 19054, amend the FY 2019 approved sewer fund operating budget, appropriate $50,000 to the Department of Administration, Office of Finance, Contractual Services budget line item. Ordinance 19055, to authorize the abatement of Newcastle County real property taxes and penalty on the property of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Abundant Life Center, Inc., at 24 Blevins Drive, Newcastle, Delaware, tax parcel number 10024.00092.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, Mr. Woods is here. Reports from select and special committees. May I please have those reports? Boards and Commissions Subcommittee, Ms. Diller?
Yes, the Boards and Commissions Subcommittee met on May 21st. We reviewed the appointment of Francis Williams, and we discussed potential Board of Assessment legislation.
Thank you. Land Use Committee, Mr. Tackett? Ms. Kilpatrick?
Ms. Kilpatrick?
I don't have the agenda from last week, I'm sorry. We did have a Land Use Committee meeting, and we talked about the LOS, the level of service ordinance that we'll be voting on tonight.
Thank you. Finance Committee?
Finance
Mr. Smiley?
Finance Committee met up here today, 4-130-J, reviewed items on the evening's agenda, and approved some grant applications. Yeah.
Thank you. Community Services? Ms. Dillon?
Yes, the Community Services meeting met at 3 p.m. this afternoon, and we discussed the 2020 plan to go to housing and urban development. Then we discussed the role and the updates for Newcastle County Pride, and we also had a discussion on four ordinances.
Thank you. Next is the consent calendar. Any member of the council or the public may remove an item from the consent calendar for further discussion by a simple request. If an item is not removed, it will not be subject to amendment discussions or other objection and will be voted upon as a package. Consent calendar items are noted on the agenda as such and are available in the back of this room and online. Is there anyone from council or the public who wish to have an item removed at this time? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 19091, consenting to the appointment of Francis E. Williams III to the Fire and Ambulance Advisory Board.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Drum?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the rule reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar has been passed. Ms. Diller?
Yes. I make a motion to go out of order to consider an item J at this time.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? R19096 will be read out of order and moved upon for a presentation.
Yes, I make a motion that that 19096 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 19096, honoring Tristan Hudson and his many accomplishments at St. Elizabeth's High School.
Ms. Diller?
Yes, we'd like to ask Tristan and his mom and any other family members to come forward. And that would include you, Councilman Smiley.
Yes, I think we have another family member here.
Okay, and while they're coming up, I'm just going to ask, go through, is there anyone from council with questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment.
So this is why.
Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R19096.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Drum?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the rule reveals 13 yes.
R19096 is passed. Please proceed with their presentation.
Thank you. To all of you on council, you know it takes a whole lot to do a batch if you're doing it. But we did it. We kept this as much in house as we could. We gave nothing to anybody else, and the family obviously was involved, so we wanted to keep this as a surprise. Well, that's what we do. They're the perfect family to do this to. So on top of the doctor for George, Kristen is George's grandson. Mm-hmm. Shannon is his mother, George is his daughter. And we've been hearing the life stories of Kristen and his son from president for his sophomore class, which he won. So we thought Kristen would bring in and give kudos to a teenager who seems to be going down the right path, is doing all the right things, and is taking all the right things from his grandfather. Actually, in truth, we wonder how Tristan, this laudable young man, is actually working. I question it all the time, but
I gave him a DNA exam for Christmas.
No, we're not questioning the DNA. We're questioning his So I'm just going to go through the resolution. I think you'll find it pretty impressive. Whereas Kristen was successfully elected sophomore class president by his fellow classmates at St. Elizabeth's High School, utilizing the slogan, "Vote Smart, Vote Hudson." And whereas he kicked off his campaign with a speech and filmed a short commercial modeled after the opening of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. His goals include creating a student newspaper that further engage the student body in school events, always being accessible to his fellow classmates, and becoming a liaison between students and faculty. And whereas Kristen was awarded an academic scholarship from St. Elizabeth's and is currently a freshman taking honors and advanced level classes with straight A's and a 4.33 GPA. And whereas Kristen enjoys writing and his play, A Little Bit of a Book of Exodus, was selected as a finalist at this year's Delaware Young Playwrights Festival. And whereas he is a member of the St. Elizabeth's Mock Trial Team and Math League, both teams placed second in this year's state competitions. And whereas Kristen received the Benedictine Pillar Stability Recognition Award, which recognizes individuals that uphold the Benedictine virtue of commitment to the St. Elizabeth's community, and whereas he was invited to and attended the community leadership workshop hosted by the Hugh O'Brien Youth Leadership Foundation, which aims to train and nurture the young leaders of tomorrow. Now, therefore, be it resolved by and for the County Council of New Castle County that County Council hereby congratulates Tristan Hudson on the successful campaign for sophomore class president at St. Elizabeth's High School and honors him for his many achievements and service to this community.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet. Congratulations, Tristan.
Good job.
Next, we're moving on to consideration of resolutions removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. Anyone wishing to speak on the subject of any of the resolutions or ordinances, please come forward and line up at the far right side, sign in your name and affiliation. After the resolution or ordinance you wish to speak on is introduced and I open up the floor to the public, please approach the podium one at a time, state your name for the record, and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Remain at the podium after you speak for any possible questions from council. We'll begin with R19092. Mr. Carter?
Yes, I move that resolution 19092 be read by title only and placed before council for consideration.
Second.
Resolution 19092, amend the FY 2019 capital program, appropriate up to $156,000 from the Quarter of Deeds Technology Fee Account to the Department of Administration Information Systems Expansion 2 capital project to support 5 technological initiatives. Mr. Carter?
Yes, I'd like to note that Councilman Tackett would like to be a co-sponsor on this. This resolution just allows us to amend the budget to take $156,000 from the Office of Recorder of Deeds Technology Account to administer 5 technology improvements by the administration, including security cameras in parks, Greater Point routers for our field staff to be able to analyze in real time, an update of outdated laptops, some infrastructure improvements to be able to real-time stream our meetings by this fall, and some upgrades to the PLUS cardiac arrest system.
Thank you. I'd also like to ask to be a co-sponsor.
Sure.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R19092. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Dewar?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the rule reveals 13 yes.
R19092 is passed. Next, R19093. Mr. Smiley?
Yes, I request R19-093 be read by title only and take it to the council for consideration.
Resolution 19093, to rename the apartment complex of Hampton Walk, tax parcel number 10014.10458, located on the west side of North DuPont Highway, north of Bacon Avenue, south of McMullen Avenue, east of Bassett Avenue, to Newcastle Crossing. Mr. Smiley?
As per title.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R19093. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. R19093 is passed. Next, R19094. Mr. Cartier?
Thank you, Madam President. Like R19-094, read by title only and be placed before Council for its consideration.
Second. Resolution 19094, recognizing and honoring the history of Brandywine 100 by renaming the Allen Tribe Park to the Forward Preserve Park, tax parcel number 06081.00053. Mr. Cartier?
Yeah, thank you, Madam President. This resolution renaming the Allen Tract to the Forward Preserve Park caps a year of intense work by our local communities in the area and advocates to recover the Allen Tract, which is a passive open space park. We have gone through a program of cleaning out a large invasive bamboo grove, cleaning out debris and accumulated garbage from the park, and Delbot's been in there working on a badly decayed drainage culvert. So we've got a lot of work accomplished, and in the process the community asked for a naming that would be more appropriate. No aspersions to the Allen family. They were the last owners of this parcel of land, but it actually has very deep roots into the farming background of Brandywine 100 with the Forward family. And so we're presenting this tonight in honor of the Forwards and the great community effort with our public works professionals that went to renewing this really nice open space parcel.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Yes, please come forward. Can you come in and sign in with Mr. Smiley? Okay. Please come up and state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Mary Ann Sinaglia, and I am representing people from the following organizations who are interested in this renaming. These include Friends of the Park, the Council of Civic Organizations of Brandywine 100, Mainland Creek Watershed Association, Delaware Nature Society, and local historians. We've all been working with the county and by ourselves to improve the environmental condition of the Allen Tract. We support the renaming because of its historical background. Dr. Allen owned the lot for 25 years. The Forwards owned the lot for 150 years. And incidentally, the Forward School was financed by the Forward that owned this property plus his brother that owned the property across Marsh Road. You can go back from the Forwards to the Grubs, and then you go to William Penn. So you can see there's only four steps in the line from the present day down to William Penn. And we have, as John mentioned, we have been working with the county in getting rid of bamboo, in watching the lantern fly and its potential contamination, and we would really appreciate your support for the naming of this tract. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other members of the public that wishes to speak? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R19094. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
R19094 is passed. Next, R19062.
That will remain on the table for a little further in the agenda, please.
Thank you. Moving on to ordinances, R19048, Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that ordinance number 19048 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Ordinance 19048, amend the grants budget, appropriate $2,278,499 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and $425,000 in estimated program income to the Community Development Block Grant FY2020, which will be administered by the Department of Community Services.
Mr. Hollins.
Madam President, this is the annual appropriation from the federal government for our Community Development Block Grant.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 019-048. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
019-048 is passed. Next, 019-049. Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that ordinance number 19049 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Ordinance 19049, amend the grants budget for FY2020, appropriate federal funds of $196,701 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development HUD to the Emergency Solutions Grant FY2020, which will be administered by the Department of Community Services.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Mr. Street?
I'm just going to repeat what I said upstairs. I got to get my looks in where I can. You know, this is great. You know, we're at $2.2 million plus this, and the only thing that can mess it up is the heartless heart surgeon who doesn't know Rayo from Oreo.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from members of council? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 019-049. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the rule reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. 019-049 is passed. Next, 019-050, Ms. Diller.
Yes, I move that 19-050 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Ordinance 19050, amend the grants budget for FY2020, appropriate federal funds of $893,090 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and estimated program income of $75,000 to the FY2020 Home Investment Partnership Program HOME, which is administered by the Department of Community Services.
Ms. Devin?
Yes, we discussed this. We had a presentation and discussed it at the Community Services meeting, so unless there are any questions, I think we can move forward.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 019-050. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
019-050 is passed. Next, 019-051, Ms. Diller.
Yes, I move that Ordinance 19-051 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 19051, amend the grants budget for FY 2020, appropriate $1,954,056 from the Department of State Delaware Division of Libraries to A, Library Administration $1,727,739, B, Appaquinic Library $12,809, C, Bear Library $30,318, D, Claymont Library $12,707, E, Brandywine Hundred Library $69,740, F, Ellesmere Library $12,706, G, Hokeson Library $15,448, H, Kirkwood Library $19,150, I, Newark Library $26,727, J, Route 9 Library $10,300, and K, Woodlawn Library $16,412, which are all administered by the Department of Community Services.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 019-051. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Graham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiling?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
019-051 is passed. Next, 019-052, Mr. Carter.
Yes, I move that Ordinance 19-052 be read by title only and be placed before council for consideration.
Okay. Ordinance 19-052, amend the FY 2019 capital budget, appropriate up to $156,000 from the Recorder of Deeds technology fee account to the Department of Administration Information Systems Expansion to Capital Project to support 5 technological initiatives.
Mr. Carter?
Yes, this is just a companion ordinance to the resolution, the technology resolutions that we passed earlier tonight.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 019-052. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
019-052 is passed. Next, Councilman Smiley.
Yes, make a motion to draw an order for purposes of considering 6 pieces of budget legislation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We will now go forward, Mr. Smiley. Would you like to begin?
Yes. I move to lift Ordinance 19-035 from the table.
Second.
Move to have 19-035 read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Right. Ordinance 19035, the annual revenue ordinance of Newcastle County for fiscal year 2020 beginning July 1, 2019.
As per title, this establishes the revenue for FY 20.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 019-035. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
No.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiling?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 12 yes, 1 no.
019-035 is passed.
I move to lift Ordinance Number 19-036 from the table.
Second.
I move to have Ordinance 19-036 read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Sure. Ordinance 19036, calculation of sewer service charges effective July 1, 2019 for fiscal year 2020.
Mr. Smiley?
As per title.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Mr. Cartier?
Yes, this is a proposed flat stable revenue rate for this year, no increase, and Newcastle County remains a relatively inexpensive sewer service provider for the public we serve.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from members of council? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 019-036. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Carnian?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. Thank you. 019-036 is passed. Next.
I move the list lift ordinance 19-037 from the table.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
019-037 is lifted.
I move to have ordinance 19-037 read by title only and placed before council.
Second.
Ordinance 19037, an ordinance authorizing the issuance of general obligation bonds of Newcastle County for the purpose of financing certain capital projects approved in the fiscal year 2020 capital budget.
Again, this is the bonding ordinance, and I want to place on the record that we have received the certification of revenues as required.
Next, does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 019-037. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. 019-037 is passed. Next, 019-038, Mr. Smiley.
I move to have resolution number 19-062 lifted from the table.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So, Mr. Smiley, you're jumping back?
Just.
And then going back to where we were?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Just to make sure we're on the same page.
I move to have resolution 19-062 read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 19062, adopting the Newcastle County Capital Program for fiscal year 2020 through 2025.
As per title.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R19062. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. R19062 is passed. Next, 019038.
Yes, I request ordinance 19-038 be lifted from the table.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? 019038 is lifted.
I request ordinance 19-038 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 19038, the capital budget ordinance of Newcastle County for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2019. Mr. Smiley?
As per title.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 019038. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. 019038 is passed. Next, 019039.
I request ordinance 19-039 be lifted from the table.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? 019039 is passed. Is lifted.
Okay, I request ordinance 19-039 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 19039, adopt the annual operating budget of Newcastle County for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2019. Mr. Smiley?
Yeah, the only comment I want to make right now is that all of the legislation we've just done has been and continues to be available on the county website. With that, 19039 at third title.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 019039. Ms. Savell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cardian?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
No.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Shelvin?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the rule reveals 12 yes, 1 no.
019039 is passed. Next, 019033. I move that 019033 be read by title only and placed before council for consideration. And you know what? We're going to continue to keep it tabled. Next is 017095. Mr. Bell, is tabled.
Return to the regular
order. Motion to return to regular order of business. Second.
Second. 017096 remains tabled.
096.
We are returning the substitute number 1 to 19-005.
We need to take a vote on the untabling.
Yeah, you got to table.
Point of order.
What?
Take a vote on the untabling.
On the amendment. Yes. Next, we have amendment number 1 to substitute.
Point of order, Madam President. We need to vote on the untabling. You got a motion and a second.
It's not on the table.
Return to order.
Return to regular order, yeah.
She's not on table.
Yet. We're going to go back to regular order.
Yes. So we're back to amendment number 1 to substitute number 1 to 019005.
We're back to substitute number 1 to ordinance 19005.
Yeah. Right. That's not what the legislation. We're on. So we're going to read this one in. So we're just going to read the substitute title and into the record, but the rules state that you read the amendments first.
You can't read the amendments until we introduce.
Until we read the title, then we'll read the title. Correct. Okay. Substitute number 1 to 019005.
Would you like me to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. So, Madam Clerk, please read substitute number 1 to ordinance 19005 by title only. Present the council for consideration and adoption.
Second.
Substitute number 1 to ordinance 19005 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 40, also known as Unified Development Code or UDC, Article 5, Site Capacity and Concurrency Calculations, Article 11, Transportation Impact, Article 31, Procedures and Administration, Article 33, Definitions. Next. Does anyone from council have questions or comments?
Back to the
Mr. Tackett.
Okay, if you think this has been confusing so far, we're going to just get started. So now I need Madam Clerk to please read floor amendment number 1 to substitute number 1 to ordinance 19005.
Floor amendment number 1 to substitute number 1 to ordinance number 19005. Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Madam President. So everybody should have floor amendment on their desks. At this point, it was placed there prior to. It should have been placed in your packets upstairs, but again, placed on your desk prior to you arriving down here this evening. The items that are being added by the floor amendment are in red. And do you have this, Madam President?
I do. In fact, I have reading the floor amendment and following the order, the instructions precisely. But go ahead.
Because we have more. So, a required economic analysis shall identify workforce characteristics in employment and industry and specialization, identify major areas for support employers, compare existing and potential economic activity in the study area to the rest of the country, relevant county, relevant. Relevant peer regions and emerging developing trends, and access future economic growth and associated industry wage potential. And this is the one that we added for number five, was provide an estimate for the potential of high wage employment opportunities in the study area.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Please come forward. You'll go around this side.
Wait.
Now, yes, there will only be comments on this amendment and not the entire ordinance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to make just a few very brief comments in support of this amendment. My name is Tom Dusen. This amendment attempts to address one of several very serious flaws in the ordinance. It's a very simple amendment. It's quite modest. And it does not impair in any way the stated objectives of the ordinance. So we're requesting council's consideration, positive consideration of this this amendment tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Please come forward, sir, and state your name for the record. You have 3 minutes to speak.
For the record, my name is Jaquim Muhammad. Thank you, madam. Thank you, council. We're back here again. And this is, if I'm making you uncomfortable, it's because there is no public discussion in this amendment or anything following with this particular thing. You're taking the rights of the people and you're just doing what you want in council. Here we are again. Same old problems that you've always done. Take the rights of the people, don't have a public discussion, and get your backroom deals going. This amendment should have been given out to the public, even though it's great intention, and I know Councilman over here, Dave, has great intentions on what it is, what we want to have for the public. But the problem is that there's no public dialogue. This TID and this LOS is not that difficult. You have to get out to the public and get it to the public. I was told earlier that that Newcastle County executives said that they actually told us about this amendment and the ordinance 19005. No, you have not. You have not talked to the public. I need you to start representing the public. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No clapping, please. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none?
Amendment.
I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on amendment number one to substitute number one to 019005. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Not voting. I haven't had adequate time to look at the value of this economic analysis.
Mr. Carnier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Present.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 11 yes, 1 not voting, 1 present. Amendment number 1 to substitute number 1, 019005, is passed. Next, amendment number 2
to substitute number 1 to 019005. Ms. Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I move that floor amendment number 2 to substitute number 1 to ordinance number 19005 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Floor amendment number 2 to substitute number 1 to ordinance number 19005. Ms. Kilpatrick.
Thank you. After we had the committee meeting last week, I received a call from President Hartley Nagel, and she had some concerns about the wording in the ordinance, that it might not be clear enough that everything had to be recorded within the Recorder of Deeds office. So this amendment says that everything has to be, every MOU has to be recorded with all the documents within the Recorder of Deeds office, and that it needs to be noted on each plan that that recordation is there so that everybody knows where to go. She also asked if we could go further in stating that she would like a timeline on all of the improvements that were in those MOUs, and that is something that she has heard from Karen Peterson, the president of the planning board, that cannot be done, that we cannot give DLDOT an outside date on when every ordinance or when every improvement would need to be done. And as you know from looking at this, there are certain benchmarks. So as you have a lot of these road improvements that need to be done, there are certain benchmarks along the way, and we see that that's happening in the existing TID that we have below the canal. Thank you.
Yes, so what I would like to say is what I had called Ms. Kilpatrick, and I want to thank her for addressing this, and she did it very quickly, is I asked her, can we have an amendment that makes sure that DLDOT has a work order and a timeline that begins when any project or multiple projects begin and end at around the same time or no later than the project ends. I did call Ms. Peterson, who was a wealth of information, and asked her for her input on not only that, but why the planning board ruled against this piece of legislation moving forward. And what I gathered for this particular ordinance amendment was that you just can't do it. You don't know which governor is coming in, what their priorities are, if people leave or come, if the state has different priorities that could change, if the finances are available. So what I had asked Ms. Kilpatrick to draft really isn't possible to do, although it is apparently in the notes and recorded with the Recorder of Deeds, I understand, although there's no way to make DLDOT complete any project or even begin at the same time that we may want it done. So that's still an area of concern for me. Is there any other comments from members of council? I open up the floor to the public for comment on this particular amendment number 2. Yes, come around. Okay. Thank you. Please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Nancy Willen. I just don't know. I guess I have to address the chair. I don't know if I can address the direct person anyway. My concern is that I don't think this is clear enough. From the planning board discussion, the first comment from the planning board was from Ms. Cahill, who is a paralegal with a real estate firm, and she said that it was problematic that these recruitment arrangements aren't headed for the deeds recorder's office. So what is the clarity on this amendment of what is going to be presented for recorder of deeds and also notes on the plan, but I'm just not sure from the language you just said whether or not that's going to capture recruitment agreements or just MOUs on the TID itself.
Can I just...
Yes, Ms. Kilpatrick.
All right. Transportation improvements required to bring all roads and transportation facilities in the TID to establish standards and developer contributions and other sources of financing shall be provided in an appendix to contractual obligations by the parties, which will be recorded in the Recorder of Deeds and referenced on the record plan.
So does that include recruitment agreements?
That is everything within the MOUs, what should be stated in them and then recorded.
So it does include the recruitment agreements. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else from the public that would wish to speak? Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Amendment Number 2 to Substitute Number 1 to 019005.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Doerr?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Present.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Shaubin?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 12 yes, 1 present.
Thank you. We have Amendment Number 2 to Substitute Number 1 to 019005 has passed. Next, Amendment Number 3 to Substitute Number 1 to 019005. Ms. Kilpatrick? And Ms. Durham.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I ask that this floor amendment number 3 be read by title and placed before Council for its consideration.
Second.
Floor amendment number 3 to substitute number 1 to ordinance number 19005.
Ms. Durham?
Thank you so much. We heard a lot of discussion at last week's committee meeting, and I've received countless emails from members of the public and civic organizations just concerned about, as was spoken earlier, about the process. And I think there is great support for the overall amendment, but just the devil's in the details. So this amendment and the next couple are just an attempt at trying to bring some more clarity to the proposal and some more comfort to the citizens that are concerned about it. This particular one attempts to apply the existing uniform congestion standards to TIDs unless modified by a county council action and, based again on economic development and high quality jobs.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Mr. Carter?
Yeah, this is, I think, trying to build in some of the safeguards that we talked about. I know I talked about at length in our committee meeting. I'm still struggling with the how we're going to operationalize this ordinance, and I am really concerned that the safeguards are not there. I know there are commitments for DelDOT and others. I was deeply concerned in that discussion that the safeguards weren't there. What we heard was that Secretary Cohen is very supportive, but the Secretary serves at the pleasure, and this is setting things up for 20 years, so whether or not this is the perfect fix, it's just trying to build safeguards.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from members of council? Ms. Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Isn't this very similar, as far as the last three lines at least, to Amendment Number 1, prior to the adoption to TID based on economic development potential that is significant with respect to the number, character, and weight of jobs provided? I mean, number 5 on this one is provide an estimate for the potential of high-wage employment opportunities in the study area. So it seems to me that that part is redundant. We've already passed that. And when you create a TID and it comes back to council, we vote on that, whether you want the TID or whether you don't want the TID. So does that mean that we would need to pull something out of that whole agreement to vote on it separately?
are you asking Mr. Carter a question that you'd like him to answer, or is that hypothetical?
I'm generally asking a question, whoever wants to answer it. I mean, if the department worked with them on this, as they did on 1 and 2, maybe they could answer this, or I don't know who wrote the amendment, so I don't know who to ask to answer it. I'm going to guess Ms. Durham, but...
I think the most important part of this proposed amendment has to do with just that the level of service standards continue to apply unless modified, because there is concern about that for the proposed TIDs, that it leaves things too open-ended.
But you would know that when the TID comes before you to vote on, and that's the whole purpose of doing a study ahead of time. When we talked about this in committee, we said, and I don't know where our little map is, but when we had the hotel, where you saw that you would have three intersections that, you know, under today's standard, you would vote on, if that whole area was within a TID, you might know that one of those intersections for 15 minutes during the day is going to fall below the LOS standard, but when you take the whole area as a whole, you are moving traffic more together than what you are if you are looking at each individual project that could come up within that area.
So what I'm hearing you say, Ms. Kilpatrick, you first said that we've already voted on this, that this is the same.
For the
so
part,
voting again,
three lines,
and if it's reworded, voting again would not be a problem.
What I'm saying is that I think it's redundant, and I don't know that we need to even vote on it. I mean, it's how do you put this in when we've already done Section 4011.310, and we have very clearly in 5 points it's spelled out on here, and then you add another section under 4011.310, and you basically add the same wording in.
So you're saying it's the same or different?
I'm saying it's obsolete, that we don't need to do it. It's redundant to what we did in one.
Okay, but Ms. Durham has brought it forth, and so we will move forward and vote. Mr. Carter?
Yeah, there could be some redundancy in here, but I think we've all taken oath of office to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public, and if the intent is to add an additional safeguard, perhaps a little bit of redundancy is not a bad thing. That way it just reiterates the importance of it statutorily. So, I did a lot of work protecting communities from coastal hazards, and we always strive for redundancy to safeguard them from hazards, and I would like to safeguard the public from concerns over undue problems with traffic.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? Ms. Dillon?
It would be helpful if we had the comparison map that we had the other week when we had the presentation in the Land Use Committee. Do we have a copy of that map?
We do. It should be up there.
That would be helpful.
And who is, well, Mr. Boyle, you're bringing it up?
So that's under current legislation. And then there was another map that showed what a TID would look like in that area.
There.
Ms. Dillon?
I'm waiting. Okay. All right. So if we...
Oh, my God.
Okay.
It's coming back. All right. All right.
So... If we were to create a TID in this area, all of these things would be analyzed. All of these intersections would be analyzed.
So that the audience knows what you're referring to. You're talking about the Churchman's Crossing area, correct?
Yes, it says right up there, Churchman's Crossing. So those are all things that would be analyzed before we would vote on this TID. Is that correct? I'll throw it to Mr. Hall.
Mr. Hall, will you please come to the podium?
Mr. Lynn has questions for you.
Good evening. Richard Hall, General Manager, Land Use.
So all of this would be analyzed, right?
That's right.
And that would be the package that we would be voting on.
Right. The package includes the analysis, the plan that's created as part of the TID that would go to planning board, come to you here in council, and includes a lot of the kind of analysis, including what you all were just talking about on the level of service and how that's set up in this plan.
So can I ask Ms. Durham a question?
Yes.
So do you imagine that if we were creating a TID, that every one of those would have to be voted on separately?
Ms. Durham.
It would be voted on as the as it would be for the TID itself.
So
the idea is to create a the public is concerned that level of service is being tossed out with no framework in place necessarily to know what you're getting in exchange. So let's try, so the idea here is to at least just say that the level of service standards would apply and be dealt with before the TID is adopted, but as it pertains to the TID. Obviously, the TID that is being developed as a project.
Mr.
Right.
Can we go to Mr. Carter, and maybe he can add to this
conversation? Yeah, I have a question for Rich. So what's coming from this before us, is that going to also include not just the traffic impact, but the special assessments, so that we will be able to, at what point we'll be able to evaluate whether we are confident that the money will come forward, particularly if this is being applied in areas that are infill and already developed, limit numbers of developments with which to get that money from. And I'm trying to understand where the safety valve is for that, because I know in Ohio they had a lot of problems with some of these special assessments in some of the developed areas. I know I raised this in committee. I know that these TIDs work well in greenfield areas. I almost wonder if we, and concerned that we don't have things like a good comparative analysis of tax increment finance, where you can bond the money up front, do improvements, and pay over time.
Are you still speaking to this amendment?
You're speaking to this amendment, yes.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to clarify where we are on that.
Ms. Dole, would you like to follow up?
I just want to know that how this amendment is going to work. So that if we are trying to create a TID, what does that mean in terms, I get the TID, we vote on it, or we don't, we either vote it up or we vote it down. But what is going to happen before we get to that vote up or down with these intersections, with this amendment? I don't know. Does that mean every one of them must be voted? I just, to use Mr. Carter's words, I would like to know how one would operationalize this amendment.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
When we were in committee, we talked about the one that was in existence below the canal, and that there was a dollar amount associated prior to the MOU being filed. There was a dollar amount associated with the intersections. I'm going to say, if I'm remembering this correctly, there are like 26 projects that they identified that would need to be improved for the TID area. They put a dollar amount on that. That dollar amount was $80 million. They agreed that between private money and public money, it would be split 50-50. I know that as developers are hitting those benchmarks, they're paying money into the fund. They also have, I don't know if it's annually or every 2 years or whatever it is, they go in and reevaluate the cost of the projects, and that cost is now up to $92 million. So there's an escalation clause within the TID MOU.
Okay. Mr. Carter, and then Mr. Tackett.
I just want to point out that in the committee we also discuss the difference between the ones south of the canal that are in Greenfields, and that we're very confident will work well, and the challenges that we could be facing in developed areas for our revenue streams. And, you know, so this is a way to safeguard, I think, to kick back and have those extra checks and balances.
You're speaking about this particular amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Tackett?
Thank you, Madam President. Mr. Hall, prior to us coming in, or shortly after we came in, one of the many pages we received on our desk about Ordinance 19005 amendment information, I guess this is a document that was prepared by Land Use. Talks about
yes.
Floor Amendment 1, 2. Looking at this just quickly in case somebody else were to look at it, I think 1 and 2 are mixed up. Number 1, it says time of the recorded plan with the recorder of deeds, but I think that was actually
right.
Floor Amendment
1
2.
And 2 are backwards.
But then 1 and 2 are backwards. So 3 you have on here requires an additional vote by council to relieve the LOS and the TID. This requirement is redundant since the creation of the TID must already include details on the level of service and must be approved by council. So that's hence why you received that question from, I guess, prompted by Councilwoman Kilpatrick about the fact that council would have to vote to relieve the level of service, although you're stating in here the level of service is already calculated into the overall TID.
That's correct, Councilman. There's a number of things that go into the TID plan, including things relevant to this amendment you're considering now, and LOS, how LOS is established, and a number of other things that you all have mentioned before about funding and commitments and all that are all part of the package that goes through the public process that we've been talking about, including vote by council.
Ms. Dern?
I think the idea here is that this amendment would give the public slightly more comfort in sort of knowing the framework in advance of the TID being approved, knowing the framework of what is going to replace level of service in that area, in whatever area it happens to be, so that the discussion can focus on that, because it is one of the few safeguards remaining, albeit not perfect by any means, and we do applaud the attempt to replace the current methods of handling traffic and creating more equity with the overall goal of the main ordinance, but the devil's in the details and just trying to create extra layers of protection so that there is full public discussion about what is replacing the current system.
Okay, Ms. Kilpatrick and then Mr. Cordier.
So the new part of this says the LOS standards provided in Section 4011.210 shall continue to apply unless modified by a separate county council action prior to the adoption of the TID. Well, that's what this whole enabling legislation is about, is that we are just saying to them, we're going to allow you to put together a TID. Everything stays the same until you put together that TID and council votes on it. So that's the premise. I mean, you might as well put that in the synopsis, because that's the premise of this whole ordinance. And then the based on economic development potential, that's significant with respect to the number, character, and wage potential of the jobs provided, replicates what's in one. But one even goes further than this, because it breaks it down into 5 completely separate categories that need to be looked at in identifying a TID. So bottom line is that I am not going to vote for this because I believe that it is already either the ordinance or an amendment to the ordinance.
Mr. Cordier?
Yes, I think this discussion is going pretty far afield, but I'm going to just laser in on a couple issues. Number one, we are trying with this to work with any major job creators that come to this county. We create this TID, and we identify the intersections in the TID that, you know, and their level of failure. Now, we as a council may agree that we would not have LOSD. We might be accepting
LOSF. Let's say if Amazon came here and they wanted their headquarters here, we would want to, you know, facilitate them as much as we can. We want to get money for them from them for road improvements and intersection improvements, but we may accept a higher level of failure because we're going to get a lot of high-paying jobs. And then the experience I draw on very powerfully in my elected career is the hometown overlay in Claymont. We threw out traffic LOS standards in order to create a town center in Claymont to advance economic development and revitalization. So council will have all of these tools under the current ordinance in our hands. We're going to be making decisions and judgments, and I just see this as by its nature a very limited applicability, let's say, throughout New Castle County. Most of the county is still going to be governed by, you know, LOS standards that everybody's familiar with and seems to take comfort in, but we're in changing times. We need to compete with the region for jobs and economic development. I just see this as another tool in the toolbox. I don't think we have to make any major changes to this enabling legislation.
With that, Mr. Cartier, are you for this or against this particular amendment?
I'm going to vote no, Madam President.
Okay. Ms. Kilpatrick, do you have any further comments? Any other members' comments from members of council? With that, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Please come up, state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Tom Dusen. Let me just correct a couple of the points that were made in the discussion. The amendment number 3 is not redundant in any way, shape, or form. There's an incredibly critical difference. When you read amendment number 1, it provides that an economic analysis be done, but it makes no requirement in writing as to what is done with that. All that has to happen is it's analyzed. The step that happens in 3 says that, okay, if there are high-quality job opportunities identified as a part of this analysis, that would be the basis under which this body would consider an LOS standard other than D. The way the ordinance is written today is also critically important. Any level of congestion would be permissible in a TID once declared, and there are no guidelines, conditions whatsoever as to when you might relax that. There were wonderful examples. Amazon, absolutely. Absolutely. The exact way we want to use this. And how it would play out in practice is no different than how an individual project LOS waiver is considered today. When a project comes forward to you, as well it has, and if it is requesting an LOS waiver, those are two instruments that come forward. The LOS waiver is considered, and then the remaining project is considered. So this is merely an instrument to do a couple things. It's to provide a little bit of definition as to what happens to this very important analysis done in amendment number 1, which uses a tool. It's the tool to say, instead of any level of congestion applies in a TID for any reason at all, it says, no, we're going to stay with the standard, D in developed areas with sewer. However, we're going to consider other levels of service if there are meaningful job opportunities identified. And the analysis in Amendment 1 is the useful tool. So there are some fundamental differences here between what Amendment 1 does, which is very, very helpful, but there's no requirement anywhere written yet as to what is done with that. And so that's a critical element in 3. And the other critical element in number 3 is that instead of anything goes for whatever reason about LOS or TID, we're going to look at high-quality jobs. And then absolutely, the Amazon's perfect examples. We absolutely want those kind of opportunities. So we're very supportive of the ordinance if a few of the major questions that were addressed and discussed, thanks to this body, a great discussion last Tuesday. The objective is to just
answer a few of these uncertainties and then be in a position to say, let's move forward with this ordinance. So that's the concept behind it. And hopefully it answers some of the questions that were raised in the prior discussion.
Thank you, sir. Will the next speaker please sign in and come up, state your name. And you have 3 minutes.
All right. Thank you again. My name is Jaquim Muhammad. And what Tom just said was absolutely right. The Third Amendment is necessary. And I thank Councilwoman D. Durham, and I thank Councilman David Carter for putting that in. But let me just give you all this. This is bad public policy, period. This amendment and the way this was carried out. Everybody here, in fact, we had two council people talk about good jobs. Neither one of you talked about good communities. Shame on you. Shame on you when you do not talk about good communities. Communities first. Jobs will come if you take care of the community. This amendment was just a small fix for a terrible legislation, terrible public policy, and terrible public input. You did not have any. So, for all of y'all here, I just want to give you real quick, small groups can do a lot of great damage. I'm going to repeat that. Small groups can do a lot of great damage. And we're getting together, all these different groups. And if you only think about what jobs and not the community, with traffic impact studies and traffic that we have on Route 13 at 5 o'clock on any given day, shame on you, and we will remember. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker, please come up, and you have 3 minutes.
Bill Dunn, Civic League. I wanted to address Councilman Cartier's discussion or point that he tried to make about inhibiting job creation. If I could take it back when Senator Coons was county exec in Newcastle County, and he had a meeting with the civic leadership from all over the county, and we were talking about the STAR campus before it was established, and inhibiting factors within the UDC that might slow that process down. And I can remember saying to this day in that meeting, you come forward with a set of 1,000 jobs that are going to be $80,000 or above, and a year of construction work for the trades and all that type stuff. The civic leadership is more than happy to part the Red Sea and allow these type things to move forward and help out and find compromise as to how we move forward in that manner. Similarly, in your meeting last week, I had mentioned the broad interpretations of the TIDs and talked about the impact it might have on the coastal zone redevelopment. That area, as a general development area, is ripe, such as the Amazon area outside of Middletown, for setting up a TID, but to not adequately evaluate what the traffic impact will be on the development of those properties on the front end is irresponsible. And timelines are another important aspect of it. So you want to come forward with a TID that's going to influence a specific area for a specific purpose to create a specific set of jobs. Absolutely. Civic leadership will sit down and do everything they can to help move that process forward and bring those jobs to Newcastle County. But this is arbitrary in some of the aspects of what's in the overall thing. The substitute seems appropriate, and it should be attached. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Will the next speaker please come forward? Mr. Smiley, would you like them to sign in before or after?
Before, but then I'll
raise something.
Thank
you. Good evening, Madam
President, members of council, I just want to address the amendment since that's the only thing. The question was, is it redundant? And it is redundant. It is the only question that this puts forward is, what will the level of service need to be in the TID? And this is saying that the level of service in the TID will be what county council says. Well, 40.11.310.C.2.D. It's right there in black and white. One of the things that you have to do when you adopt a land use and transportation plan for a TID is you have to vote on what the level of service will be. So this is redundant. It's saying the same thing that the ordinance already says. It's already in the ordinance in black and white that you must approve what the level of service will be. So this amendment is redundant.
Thank you, sir. Will the next speaker please come forward? State your name for the record.
Nancy Willing again. I was a little bit confused at the beginning of the discussion of Amendment 3 because it seemed to me it was calling for a preliminary vote. And I believe that was clarified as the discussion went on. But it is very much distinct from Amendment Number 1 in that it gives us, it slows it down a little bit and calls for a vote specifically on level of service within the TID. I'll reiterate what Eugene said, and that is there was really literally no public input on the text, on the language of this ordinance. They had workshops, they had general concept discussions, but the public had no input in this legislation, and we are trying. Last week was our first shot outside the planning board to have input, and so these late amendments, people want to brush it off, but I think it is important that the process of the TID, which is done in the back rooms, done until it is ripe, I guess, for some kind of community meeting, and then quickly into the planning board and into these chambers. So I think it's, what I'm hearing is that this is calling for a preliminary vote just on the level of service, which will give the public a little bit of time to focus in on this. So I like that ordinance. I like the amendment.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to speak on this amendment? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Amendment Number 3 to substitute Number 1 to 019005. Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
No.
Ms. Diller?
No.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Present.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
No.
Mr. Sheldon?
No.
Mr. Smiley?
No.
Mr. Street?
Yeah.
Mr. Tackett?
No.
Mr. Woods?
No.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 4 yes, 8 no, 1 present. Amendment Number 3 to substitute Number 1 to 019005 is passed.
No, it's not passed.
It did not pass. Excuse me. Next, we have Amendment Number 4 to substitute Number 1 to 019005. Ms. Durham.
Thank you. Could I ask that for Amendment Number 4 be read in by title and placed before us for consideration?
For Amendment Number 4 to substitute Number 1 to Ordinance Number 19005. Mr. Durham.
Thank you. This Amendment Number 4 removes some very broad language. It's currently in the proposed ordinance or in the ordinance and just applies already existing techniques, congestion analysis techniques to the TIDs, just again sort of clarifying and making sure that those techniques are spelled out and can be readily adopted to the TIDs that are being considered.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll close the floor to council and open the floor to the public for comment. Is there anyone that wishes to comment on this amendment? Mr. Hall?
Thank you again.
again, for the record, Richard Hall, General Manager Land Use. We oppose this amendment. We feel that what it would do is it further narrows the scope, the comprehensive nature that the whole ordinance seeks to obtain when looking at level service in these TID areas. One example is there's emerging technology on how to measure traffic, not just LLS and intersections, but how to actually measure traffic. These things a lot of us carry around. The Bluetooth technology in there is something that's been used more and more by transportation officials to track travel time. So what our concern is to overly narrow down the types of tools that are used to measure the impact of traffic. And I may recommend that some of the folks, such as Drew Boyce or others on his team from DelDAT are here as they work the Land Use Committee. So they may be able to speak to this more specifically. But we just think there's a lot in the draft ordinance and a lot of tools that are used to measure travel time, traffic, LOS, and this amendment would narrow it down unnecessarily in our view. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Will the next speaker please come forward? State your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Tom Dearson again. Rich is exactly right. The way the ordinance is written is that any innovative technique can be used to measure LOS. That, to us, different folks in a different age, is a blank check. Is that really the way we want to manage land use in Newcastle County? We're trying to seek alignment with DelDOT in the county. DelDOT has very clear LOS analysis techniques, which they update from time to time, and link to the Federal Highway Capacity Manual. So when techniques have enough experience and support nationally, they end up being reflected in the Highway Capacity Manual and DelDOT's regs, which the county also aligns with. And so we're not pouring concrete and staying with today's method. We're saying that as methods are available, recognized in the codes, we'll use those. But the way the ordinance is written, anything goes. Any innovative technique can be applied without any justification as what an innovative technique is or isn't, and whether any technique has or hasn't been sufficiently vetted. So again, this does not constrain any of the fundamental objectives in the underlying ordinance, but it provides a little bit of rigor to answer one of the many questions the community has. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to speak to this amendment?
Madam President.
Mr. Bell and Mr. Tackett.
Yes. I think it's important, especially at this point in time, to have a representative from DelDOT sort of clarify the overview of what our land use manager presented and what's being presented by a member of the public to clarify how, in fact, and what standards Delaware Department of Transportation, our land use department, provide and utilize and will utilize in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. I see someone from DelDOT coming forward. In the meantime, Mr. Tackett?
That was my question.
Arnett.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Drew. Excuse me. My name is Drew Boyce, Director of Planning for DelDOT. So the, excuse me. So specifically, we were talking about what criteria DelDOT uses in our regulations. And so traditionally, we do use the Highway Capacity Manual and those elements contained in the Highway Capacity Manual that point us to levels of service. However, in our regulation, we do provide ourselves the flexibility to use other means and methods to be able to assess the impacts of traffic. I can say that our traffic operations center in Smyrna doesn't use the level of service highway capacity manual. We use the critical movement summation, which is a volume and capacity type of analysis, so that that lends us to the real capacity of the intersection. So it's not really based on signal timing. It's what is the capacity of the intersection versus the volume that comes through. We are also deploying a lot of Bluetooth readers that will give us travel time, and we're hopeful to leverage that more and more. And so in this particular ordinance, what this says is that we're going to have the flexibility to be able to consider different means and methods as part of a TID. So one point of clarification I want to make is that the TID is just going to be a specific geographical area at the county's discretion. So where do you want to see development happen? We're going to establish a geographical boundary. And so the ways that we measure level of service are only going to be for that geographical boundary. So what the ordinance contemplates is that we could use traditional LOS in that TID that would be presented would be analyzed, existing conditions analyzed, and then brought to the public to say, this is what the county is contemplating. These are the land uses that the county is contemplating in here. This is the impacts to the transportation system. These are the transportation improvements we think are appropriate. And these are the intersections where we either say that level of service D is achieved or it's not. And if it's not, then are we going to set a new service standard to say that E is okay? Or we might say travel time reliability. It takes 15 minutes to get through this corridor. Under the TID, it's going to take you 16 minutes. Is that reasonable and appropriate? So those are the kinds of flexibility we want to see in the enabling legislation. And then as we get the public feedback, that then will, based on that public feedback, we're going to come to you again to say, is this something that the county wants to do, yes or no? And you'll be able to look at the service standards that have been established. You'll be able to look at the reactions that the public has, and then make the decision based on all those facts. But I'm a proponent that we need the flexibility in the enabling legislation to be able to bring to bear all the analysis tools that we have to be able to provide a clear picture to the public on what specific growth within the TID would look like.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bell?
Just one follow-up question. Has our Delaware Department of Transportation utilized these various tools to analyze transportation improvement districts in other areas of the state of Delaware?
So currently we haven't. So we have several TID agreements in place. I can give you an example of the city of Dover. So we have one within the municipal boundary of the city of Dover. We've established service standards that were taken out to the public through their process in that TID, and they adopted a TID agreement that established a service level of E on that commercial corridor, because that's what they felt was right and appropriate for that corridor. And I believe they also exempted the side street delays, if I'm not mistaken. I'm looking at staff for clarification, and so that is correct. And so they leveraged the existing means and methods that we have now in our toolbox, but then created a lower standard within that corridor to basically be able to draw realize the vision that they had for that corridor, which was more growth. That's what they wanted. And so in that particular one, it's just a level of service.
Okay. And I guess the bottom line where I'm going with this is that, so if I read the legislation properly, and I know that there's always room for improvement and growth, but this is enabling legislation. And if you take a look at a spirit of cooperation between DelDOT and our land use department, I haven't heard one thing tonight, nor the other day, that said prior to a transportation improvement district being proposed and approved that it will have public input, it will go before the planning board, and it will come back to this council for scrutiny as well as a final vote.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
You haven't heard that?
No. What I mean is I haven't heard anyone say that that is not going to happen. In other words, I'm saying that that's exactly what's being proposed in the enabling legislation.
Yes.
Is it prior to any TID being approved?
Yes.
That whether they use new formulas or new tools or existing tools, it will all be brought back with public comment, planning board, and prior to any approval comes back to this council. So maybe I worded that wrong, but what I'm saying is I haven't heard anyone from DelDOT, Arlenius, or this council say that those requirements would not be fulfilled in this legislation.
Correct.
Thank you.
They will be fulfilled.
They will be fulfilled.
That's Ms. Kilpatrick. And now, Mr. Sheldon.
Yeah, I need a hook to keep her going forward. She was going crazy. I thought you were going to jump out. My question, sir, before you go, I'm counting like 35 intersections up there. Because this is close. If I remember correctly, Cavaliers is involved in this. A hotel that we just approved would be involved in this around in this corridor. I know we only go like up top, you have the three stars, which would be our level of service for land use. That's what we have. I know you have different ones too. But if we pass this amendment and the ordinance, does that mean most of these now get looked at that are failing on this particular section, if this is the one we approved to do this? Explain to me to make me feel more comfortable that we look at a lot of those, not just three.
Right. So if the Department of Land Use and DelDOT got together and we said this is where we want to create a TID, we would establish a geographical boundary very similar to this. In that geographical boundary would be all the intersections, so you say about 35 here, that's identified. What we would do is put together an existing conditions report. So we would do a traffic analysis, we would count all of the intersections, and we would develop an existing conditions report. What is, how is the system operating? And traditionally that would come to you in familiar language like LOS. So these are the delays that we're seeing at the intersections. They get a letter grade and then we would work with the Department of Land Use to say, what is the vision for this area? What types of businesses do we want to attract? Where do we see that growth happening? And then we would craft a vision for 20 years. 20-year horizon, we would grow then the traffic based on that projected land use and develop a transportation plan underneath that would support it. That's going to come at a cost. And so we would value all of those transportation improvements and then determine a fair share contribution matrix for the different types of land use that would be happening in the area. So development would pay a share, and DelDOT would pay a share. Now, that really depends on the amount of improvements needed to be able to support the vision that the county has for that area. And so the example was given earlier by Councilwoman Kilpatrick about the Southern Newcastle County. That's a 50-50 split. So the development is paying for 50% of the improvements. DelDOT pays the other 50%. We have other TIDs where the percentage is different, and that is really just a mix of how much improvements are needed and how much development, how much more development that can bring money to bear to those transportation improvements. How much is that? So all of those get really worked out once that land use and transportation plan is developed. So the shorter answer, I guess, is that yes, all of those intersections get evaluated. The proposed improvements needed to support the
development get developed conceptually in enough detail that we can develop significant cost estimates, because once we establish the MOU with the development community, their rates are locked in, and so we need to have a good handle on those transportation costs.
Okay, and that's my biggest thing is I just want to take Cavaliers again. That would expand that particular project. You were here for that, right? Or you sent somebody from DelDOT. I know DelDOT was there.
Right.
That would expand that, so not only they would have to pay in for more of the improvements, the people closer and actually all the way, well, it'll be past the mall and so forth, but that strip of highway, whoever wanted to build more on that, would have to produce more money so it could give a bigger improvement area,
right,
including where Delaware Park and that area
right.
is. With that.
Okay. Really, any development activity within the geographical area mm-hmm. would have to pay into the fund.
Okay. And it all gets looked at.
So even the ones that would traditionally go under the radar but contribute trips, so they're right up against the threshold to not require a traffic impact study, so their requirements are very little. And so they're the ones that go under the radar. So this creates a more level playing field so that not only the larger developments that have traditionally carried all the improvements, but also the smaller ones, you know, at an equitable fair share contribution rate.
All right, thank you.
Are there any other questions, Mr. Carter?
Yeah, I'm just curious how close you are to having the Bluetooth network. You know, I've been a proponent of this for many years. Because it seems to me if we're going to do this, and you've got the data, it's the same algorithms, it's the same network analysis, you can run most of the traffic for the entire county and then only have to move when you go to fund a small project. And that would be far more significant. You could do it through variances. You could do it through a number of other means very effectively. I know the Bluetooth technology, the algorithm, network analysis, and modeling has grown about four times faster than I thought it would. And we are really, really close. I think you're getting closer. But maybe you can feed me in on that and why we're not just doing this transportation data analysis across the county as a first cut, and then coming back once that's done and we have that in hand to deal with these other issues instead of doing this piecemeal with this ordinance.
So I can say that we have about 130 Bluetooth readers deployed across the state. We are, I think we're probably adding 20 to 40 a year create a more dense network. We are partnering with the university as part of our research program to be able to enhance the efficiency of processing that data because we then working towards integrating it into our standard operating practices. Now we are, we just had a meeting with traffic operations, so we are leveraging the data to do a statewide traffic operations management plan, and so that is currently underway, and so we should be able to be sharing that with land use and other folks that are interested. It'll probably take us about a year to compile all of that data. We did use the Bluetooth readers in the most recent TOMP, that's a traffic operations management plan, we call them TOMPs for short, in Sussex County. And then so we're going to take that Sussex County plan, compile it with Kent and Newcastle to create a statewide. I can say that to the point of the earlier about utilizing the sticking with the standard LOS method of measurement, I can say that the federal government is pushing us to travel time reliability. That is their preferred method of measurement. In fact, we have a performance measure that we have to report to the federal government on travel time reliability for the national highway system, of which many of the roads in Newcastle County are part of that system.
One more question.
Mr. Carter?
We're expecting within 10 years to see autonomous vehicles running probably around this state, maybe sooner, maybe a little later. That's within the life of this
proposed TID, and I'm just wondering how we're going to capture that with the GPS technology and the work we're doing and keep up with that as well as we're changing these.
Yes, Ms. Durham.
I just wanted to follow up with a comment to Councilman Bell's last point, which actually sort of proves the point of what I'm sure you've received as many emails and whatnot as I have, that just because this ordinance contemplates a new TID being going through the process of the plus hearing and a planning board hearing and a county council vote doesn't give the public a lot of comfort. Just as you can witness here tonight, the planning board denied approval for this ordinance, and the public's comments are actually being dismissed and being very defensive. Those in support of the ordinance are being very defensive about the public's comments. So I just wanted to say there's another side to the story, just because that is part of the process that's embodied in this ordinance doesn't give the public a comfy feeling.
Thank you. Ms. Kilpatrick?
And I know that this is off the amendment, but if the public wanted
Ms.
to...
Ms. Kilpatrick, now you know better.
Yeah, I know. So if the public wanted to speak, we saw five or six people come to the committee meeting. There's about five or six people here today. I don't know how many emails Ms. Durham got. I got 10. Most of them, 50% of them, were from Brandywine 100. And one of the people from Brandywine 100 said, I want you to vote against this. She had more than one comment, but one of her comments was, I want you to vote against this because I don't see Brandywine 100 being included in this, which means traffic is going to be better in all parts of the county and mine is going to stay bad.
Thank you, Mr. Bell, and Mr. Smiley.
Thank you, Madam President. And just to clarify, the position I was trying to make is that this legislation continues to offer the public the opportunity, the planning board, and this council the opportunity to review what's being presented before it's voted on. So when I said it's enabling, I think from a standpoint of hearing from DLDOT, hearing our land use department, there's a lot of things that have been reassurances since just our meeting last week. Because if you really read through everything, and you take a look at what DLDOT does and what has been done and what could be done for economic development, it's written right in here. So I'm not saying for 1 minute the public wouldn't have comment or I feel the public hasn't had comment. What I'm saying is this whole proposal of TIDs will follow a process where the public, the planning board, as well as this council, will deliberate, will review, will question, and will vote as to whether a TID is implemented. So I think it, you know, I look at this differently from what I did last Tuesday because I think it is truly enabling legislation. Can it be improved as we go along? Everything can be improved and added to as we go along. But I think it's a good piece of legislation.
Mr. Smiley.
I may be out of line, but can we return to the discussion for Amendment Number 4?
Well, Ms. Kilpatrick, you know, it brought us off the subject, so.
Does that mean I have to leave?
Are there any other comments on Amendment Number 4? Will the next speaker please come up? State your name for the record. And you'll have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Roger Squizziello. I'm pretty disgusted as a public person in front of this council right now. I feel like the public is being disregarded. You say they have ample time to discuss this. Does the public know of how many days did they have as far as these amendments went before we got discussed in front of this board? A day? 2 days? Anybody have an answer for that? I think it's a travesty. I think the public needs to be more involved, and I think they're being ignored. I think they need to be included in this process because they have no confidence in this council.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I just need to remind people that we have had workshops for probably a year and a half, as well as several committee meetings where this was discussed.
all which have been advertised online and in the paper, that we were going to discuss those.
Okay. So why would we build Leamington University in a failed intersection?
We're not talking about Leamington.
We're going to stick to the amendment number four.
Okay. So I think this amendment is a safeguard for the public, and it should be passed so that we have an idea how the TIDs are going to be evaluated and discussed, because the average person is not going to know which one you're using, which formula you're going to use. Well, if this one didn't work on our behalf, maybe this one will. Maybe let's use this one instead. So I'm saying I think we need safeguards as the public, and I would like the council to listen to the public. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Will the next speaker come up, state your name for the record, and you will have 3 minutes.
Well done. Councilman Carter and I both sat on Will Matko's Public Advisory Committee together, and I attended the last congestion management meeting where Dan Blevins heads the meeting, and he's the one that's utilizing this state-of-the-art type stuff. There are two federal ways of analyzing intersection travel, traffic loads, those type things, and then there's a third one, which is the Bluetooth, which he referenced, that has been more utilized by Real Mapco and some other groups across the country. We found great benefit from it. I think there was a 90-second improvement in travel time on 141 from Kirkwood Highway to 202 because of modifications that came out of the Bluetooth data. And him hitting at the last congestion management meeting, I was talking to Dan, and there were people from the University of Delaware and DelDOT and different groups there. And when I worked for DuPont, we did data analysis and modeling, and which is the exact same thing, but more in chemical and instrumentation rather than road traffic. The potential learnings that are coming in the next 6 months, a year, 2 years from now would benefit greatly this overall problem in New Castle County at present traffic situations. And as much as I appreciate the desire of council at this point to want to move forward with this thing as quickly as possible, if you let this data develop, and they're now going to the University of Delaware, they have analytic modeling that they're interacting where they're taking these data sets, pulling them all together, and doing real-time analysis on what to do, and getting to the point where they can build a model so that if two lanes suddenly shut down on I-95 at 5 o'clock on the southbound side, all traffic intersections on Route 4 and down on Airport Road and stuff will immediately change time sequence to handle the travel. That's the level of analytics that comes in to apply. To apply the TID arbitrarily across New Castle County at a point in time when you can't utilize this information that's soon to be here and give you a better way to design what the TIDs are, what the existing demands are, and how you apply it becomes much more important. I very much appreciate the councilman's bringing that into the thing. Frankly, I intended to say nothing during this one, but thank you again.
Thank you. Will the next speaker please come forward, state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes. Nancy Billing. When I was just struck when this was shown, the three that the county usually would address and then all the rest that would be within a TID, and contemplating the price tag. So we have a example, and we have not talked about the price tag. So I think that would be a nice thing for council to contemplate, is an actual price tag for a TID of this scope. But we haven't heard a thing about the cost. In March, several of the Civic League met with Mr. Meyer and staff, and George Haggerty will remember him tamping down because we were talking about the scoping meetings and how basically DelDOT is sort of vetoing or at least putting their voice in to say we want to see five intersections, and county says we have the right to just do the three. The SOPI meetings ended up with a DLDOT scope and a county scope. And so was that proper? So George answered, well, since the Toll Brothers / that narrow lawsuit, that clarifies that the county has the right to do what they want. And so the three intersections are just going to withstand no matter what DLDOT says. And then George says to me, what about those extra two intersections? Why doesn't DLDOT care about that? Who's going to pay for that? So I'm looking at this and thinking, well, you know, this is kind of where this has come to now. DLDOT, and I got to my car before I could really think of an answer, because it kind of shocked me, the way that was put out to me. And I thought, when I got to my car, I'm like, well, of course they want to fix intersections, but they have to pay for it according to the TIP. And according to a great deal of public input through PACs, Monaco, and this priority list that we have that can be adjusted. And I realize there's special waiting for these TIDs that we heard last week. But can DLDOT come up and give us a price tag for this TID? Because no matter how many development projects are going to come in there, if that's $400 million, what are we really looking at, especially if we have a downturn in our state revenue? What is the price tag for this TID? Can anybody answer me that?
Thank you. Ms. Dern?
I just want to say, as far as this amendment, that the idea is to give the public some comfort in, albeit an imperfect system based on level of service, until such time as future methods, whether it's Bluetooth or some other method, is developed in the future and can be adopted at that time. But until that framework is spelled out and the public knows what it is exactly is being proposed to replace the level of service, the current standards, we would, stick with them, and they can always be amended in the future, as always.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from council that wishes to speak? Anyone else from the public that wishes to speak? Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on amendment number 4 to substitute number 1 to 019005. Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Carter?
Present.
Mr. Cartier?
No.
Ms. Diller?
No.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Negel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Present.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
No.
Mr. Sheldon?
No.
Mr. Smiley?
No.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
No.
Madam President, the roll call reveals 4 yes, 7 no, 2 present. Amendment number 4 to substitute number 1 to 019005 passes. No, just kidding, fails.
Keeping us on our toes.
Next, amendment number 5 to substitute number 1 to 019005. Ms. Williams?
I'm going to withdraw this amendment at this time. Thank you.
Okay. So next we have substitute number 1 to 019005.
As amended.
Amended by many ended up.
Floor amendments number 1 and 2.
As amended by floor amendments number 1 and number 2. Does anyone from council wish to have any questions or comments? Talked out. I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Please state your name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Madam President. My name is Ted Williams. I'm here this evening as President of the Committee of 100. This Committee 100 urges Council to support substitute number 1 to 19005 as amended. We think it's a very good enabling legislation. It will allow Newcastle County and the citizens of Newcastle County to be able to create transportation improvement districts. allow you to identify regional improvements that would need to be done to be able to support economic development. Actually, I want to thank Mr. Dunn and Mr. Carter because there's two statements about using additional technology are one of the certain things we want to do within a TID. And that is be able to analyze overall traffic impacts. Analyzing intersections one by one is not the way you should be doing transportation improvements. You should be doing it on a regional basis so you can identify the appropriate improvements, not just something to meet a level of service at one location. So we urge council to support this ordinance to allow the daily legislation to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. For the next speaker, please come forward. State your name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Madam Chair, members of council, my name is Joe Fitzgerald. I'm here on behalf of the Newcastle County Chamber of Commerce, here to express our support for the ordinance. We're joining with the Committee of 100 and the Delaware Contractors Association and other members of the business community to come out and just support the legislation. First of all, we're also an economic development business at the Newcastle County Chamber, in addition to public policy advocacy. I can tell you that one of the things we've heard over and over again with other jurisdictions is that it's too difficult, it takes too long, it's too costly to locate and build in Newcastle County. It's not the 20th century anymore. It's the 21st century. We're competing in a global economy, a regional economy, and a national economy. And you know what? In other places, around D.C., around New York, et cetera, they're building with much more innovative designs. They've got different, more modern strategies for managing growth. This is a step in the right direction. And the fact that DelDOT and the Land Use Department would be in closer coordination, because that's a key issue. That's not the only reason why it takes too long to put this done here, but it's one of the reasons. So we're very much in support of this legislation. And again, a 21st century economy needs a 21st century land use management approach. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Will the next speaker come up? State your name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Donnie Shanky. I have lived in the Churchman's Crossing area for over 30 years, and I have been to several of the meetings that they mentioned regarding the workshops and the committee meetings and things like that on this. I need to clarify something. Number one, I'm not against a TID. TID to me makes sense. However, what I've always asked for 20 years now that I've been involved with civic issues, is a master plan. Now, the TID should be part of that master plan. And Larry Tarabikas and I had a conversation earlier after the last committee meeting of the Land Use Committee meeting last week. Why isn't Newcastle County a TID? Why are they only looking at one small area? I don't know if this particular concept shown on this screen right now includes the Cavalier development, but if it doesn't, then it's really, really not a working proposal, because that Cavalier development will add 700 homes, and that's onto Churchman's Road. And anybody that travels Churchman's Road now in the vicinity of Delaware Park knows what the traffic is, and they know that Churchman's Road after around the Cavalier area is a narrow two-lane road. Why the civic community is so up in arms over this enabling legislation is because it gives carte blanche to anything. I would like to see new techniques made for traffic control, new techniques for coming up with ways to eliminate the bottlenecks and the congestion. We're not against any of that. We're not against TID, the concept of the TID. But we don't think it takes things far enough. You know, really, when you come down to it, as I said, as Larry and I mentioned, discussed, a TID for Newcastle County itself makes more sense than to designate one small area. And the problem, as most people know, is Newcastle, northern Newcastle County, is pretty much developed. It's not comparable to what's in southern Newcastle County. There's a lot of open space in southern Newcastle County, so things could be done differently. Northern Newcastle County, most of the development's going to be infill, except in the Churchman's Crossing area, because there's the land that used to be MVNA and there's Delaware Park, which are large swaths of land that could be further developed. I like the idea that some of these amendments that have been, you know, basically turned down tonight included issues regarding the amount of income that we would be looking for jobs. We don't want regular Wawa, hotel maintenance, janitor type jobs. We want good jobs. We want jobs that pay a decent wage, you know, and that will lift the county up. If you don't get specific about what you want, it doesn't make sense to just say, well, we're going to do this. You need to provide judgment and control. And this is what I think is lacking in this particular ordinance. And that's why I'm against it.
Thank you very much. I'd like to interrupt the public real quick. I have some comments, and I understand Mr. Hollins would like to make a statement.
I do not. I do want to remind you that the county council did not have an opportunity to make comment on the ordinance as amended. So the public can go forward. I just wanted to remind you that.
No, I asked.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'll make the comments when the public is done.
Okay. Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Peggy Schultz. I'm speaking on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Newcastle County. The League of Women Voters of Newcastle County supports Substitute 1 for Ordinance 19005 as amended. We particularly embrace the concepts embodied in the Complete Communities Enterprise Districts portion of the ordinance. Although the CCED is already a part of the state code, its inclusion in this ordinance emphasizes that Newcastle County is on board with transit-oriented development and its implementation of a land use transportation plan based on moving people rather than on simply moving cars. The guiding principles added recently to the county's Unified Development Code are given added strength by the entirety of this ordinance. Without the waivers for vehicular traffic detailed in this ordinance, neither transportation improvement districts nor the kind of development described in the guiding principles will be able to function properly. Under the current system, car is king. And moving vehicular traffic trumps moving cyclists and pedestrians. Under the proposed ordinance, the level of service requirements can be tweaked to accommodate not only pedestrians and cyclists, but also the environment and businesses, as the latter find infield possibilities that obviate the need to locate in green fields. We urge County Council to support this ordinance.
Thank you. Will the next speaker please come forward? Please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Coralie Pride. I have watched this, I've looked at the original ordinance, of which I thought was not very good law. It did not reflect a proper consideration of neighborhoods, and particularly, I know, my own neighborhood of Brandywine 100, which is suffering terribly from traffic due to development changes that have taken place in the last 30 years. I think that Substitute 1 made the ordinance even worse by removing many the few projections that we had remaining. The amendments attempted to correct some of that. To the extent that I saw what I thought was a very valuable amendment suggested by Councilman Durham, rejected by this council, I have no hope of any protection from this council. Believe that, you know, development at all costs is the only thing that is still running this body. And I know that you are not going to vote against this. I'm still going to urge you to do so, because this is disgraceful.
Thank you. Will the next speaker please come forward? State your name for the record.
Bill Dunn again. Sorry. I really wish Councilwoman
Durham had moved forward with this Fifth Amendment, specifically to the interest of the trades and other people that are interested in supporting good long-term potential jobs and responsible development. It really would be nice to see, if you're moving this ordinance forward, that somebody actually puts a number to the number of jobs that will be created that are good-paying jobs. The way it's written right now, you're buying a pig in a poke. There's no specifics. There's no guarantee that those jobs are coming. You just have the promises and the argument that comes from the other side saying that, oh, well, they're not coming if we don't make it easier for transportation to be circumvented in a way that is acceptable to our interest. The argument I made last week in Land Use Committee, the lands that are being opened up along the Delaware River are nowhere available from Maine to South Carolina. If you're running an industrial operation, chemical process, and you want a supply chain that has access to the Atlantic Ocean and can be utilized and put them closer than shipping stuff from the Gulf Coast up to Michigan or Ohio or upstate New York, they're going to utilize it. The jobs are coming. You're just telling us, with all these good jobs that are coming, you're going to have to leave from work an hour and a half before you need to get there, and you're going to get home an hour and a half after you've gotten off the job. That's not responsible. The things that I noted about the congestion management group under Will Matko, they are just sitting down with the University of Delaware early on in the process for them to develop a model utilizing the data that is coming in at this point through three different methodologies. Its applicability is 1 to 3 years off. If you were coming forward with TIDs that would have an impact on transportation 3 years from now, when we see what are the existing problems, and then how do we apply it to address the existing problems and help future development, redevelopment in other circumstances. You're coming in with half a piece of information and applying it broadly across all of New Castle County. It's really disappointing. And like I said earlier, dating back to the Coons administration, many of the civic leadership were more than willing to sit down with council, the county executive, and say, let's jointly develop something.
Thank you
that
very much.
Can happen. Thank you.
Will the next speaker please come forward? State your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Great. Thank you, Madam President. My name is Brian Short, and I'm here on behalf of the over 300 members of the Delaware Contractors Association. Folks that are strongly in support of what you are working to achieve this evening, in which I think you are well on your way with the amended ordinance. And we appreciate that effort. We appreciate the opportunity for the public to be a process, or be a part of this process, and all the time that you've given for the public to share their viewpoints, their debate on this this very critical conversation. It was just mentioned moments ago that this shouldn't be an effort of making it easier for businesses or something within that context. Certainly, making sure that we take the most progressive and the most logical approach to a modern transportation system is much more than just making things easier. I think that's a dismissive way to look at what actually this body is attempting to achieve. It certainly is outdated, as Mr. Fitzgerald pointed out, an approach of intersection by intersection, looking at this sort of network. What you're accomplishing here, hopefully this evening with the passage of this ordinance, is taking a modern approach, a comprehensive approach, and one that will make all of our communities better. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, sir. Will the next speaker please come forward? State your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
I'm James Wilson. I'm the executive director of Lake Delaware, and I'm going to be brief because I'm talking about the very smallest part of the ordinance that's before you, and I think possibly the least controversial part, so that's nice too. I want to praise the inclusion of complete community enterprise districts in the county's code as a tool for the county to do things that you've never done before. So let me just briefly, orient you on the difference between the TID and the CCED parts of the ordinance. So TID comes out of DLDOT regulations. CCED is in state law. And where a TID is about, how do we have sort of this equitable playing field for road capacity improvements and dealing with the more traffic from development. The vision of the CCED is how do you make it possible for people not necessarily to own a car. And that is, in one sense, maybe it sounds impossibly idealistic, but there are some organizations that have endorsed this approach that I just wanted to mention to you. So the American Heart Association has endorsed CCDs because the chronic diseases associated with being obese are more and more a driver for the cost of our public health system, and being able to live active and healthy lifestyles where you are walking and cycling as part of your daily life is critical for dealing with those chronic diseases. AARP has endorsed this approach because, most of us will come, as we come to our older years, we will have problems with driving. And, if you are a millionaire, you can sort of deal with those problems, but if you're not, you shouldn't have to leave your home because you can no longer drive. And so that's part of the vision of the CCD. We want communities where even when you can no longer drive, you can stay in your own home. The League of Women Voters have endorsed this approach because, it's an approach for, communities that emit much less carbon. So the transportation sector is the largest emitter of greenhouse gases. So if that's an issue for you, this is a big approach. So I think that the county has not had a tool to influence the character of development in the past, and so we've sort of gotten what we've gotten. And the conversation has all been about, development is going to dump an enormous amount of traffic onto our roads. How are we going to get DLDOT to pay for it? This is a very different approach, and I think that it's an opportunity for the county going forward to embrace a different vision for development. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Will the next speaker please come forward? And state your name for the record.
Thank you. Again, Rich Hall, General Manager of Land Use. I just want to come real briefly at this juncture, and I'm happy to obviously come up with questions later. But I just want to mention that whether it's the amendments, 4 amendments you all, the 2 that you passed earlier, those that are in the substitute, and then the ordinance itself, I think what you can see is a progression, and I think a lot of things that are in the amendments from the substitute, and again, the 2 you passed tonight, a reflection of what was heard back as this draft ordinance has gone through the process, has come up with assurances for locking down how the improvements are made to only can go in certain zoning districts, to a number of other protections we talked about a lot last week at the Land Use Committee, so I don't want to repeat all that. I just want to highlight that there are a number of amendments that we'll talk about already, and some you'll talk about in just a few minutes that I think improved the draft ordinance. And then the other thing I just want to mention, we continue to get a lot of questions about uncertainty about what the TIDs would be and lack of specificity. Keep in mind, the whole idea here is that TIDs are proactive. So much of the development activity in the county is development by development in a piecemeal fashion. One of the number of things we're trying to accomplish with this draft ordinance is to be able to look proactively, pick an area, plan for it, and come up with a game plan, a detailed game plan for how development and traffic will be handled. I encourage anyone that's concerned about lack of specificity and what is required in the TIDs not only look at the manual of DALDOT, but also to look at Section 310 in the draft ordinance. It takes up two and a half pages, single-spaced, in the draft ordinance. A lot of detail in there. So I just want to come up because that's something I keep hearing over and over again. I'm glad to take any questions now or later. I just want to come up at this juncture and hit those couple points. Thank you.
Thank you. Will the next speaker please come up and state your name for the record?
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, members of council. My name is Sean Tucker. I'm the land use attorney here in Wilmington, and I'm here speaking on my own behalf. I was a member of the working groups that the administration had put together over the past year and a half to talk about this type of legislation, as well as other legislation that is being contemplated by the administration. When I spoke at Land Use Committee on last Tuesday, I pretty much put on the record my thoughts from going through that process and my thoughts about this ordinance. So I just wanted to make a couple additional comments, mostly about the comments that came from the public tonight and the amendments, because I thought some of the folks who spoke tonight had some of the information wrong or perhaps misunderstood it, or perhaps we just disagree fundamentally on what everybody's trying to achieve here. But I'll be brief. I'm going to go through it. First, we heard about this idea that, well, jobs are coming, we really don't need to do anything. That was sort of the summary of the comment. I couldn't disagree more with that. In 2017, according to WMAPCO, and this is a published map, we've got 62 failing level of service intersections in Newcastle County. So development can't come if we have failures. And we have, at least in 2017, according to WMAPCO, 62. I believe that was in the PN peak. So we can't get folks here if we have failures. That's the problem. That's why this has been looked at and been examined so carefully. We need safeguards. We heard about that. We have two safeguards built into this. We go to the planning board through a comprehensive development plan update. And for those of you who have been through that, and many of you have, it's extensive. A lot of public input, a lot of workshops. A lot of the speakers tonight against this, or the handful of speakers, I should say, that were against this, have been involved in those workshops. Tremendous amount of public input. That's what a real TID that would be created under this neighborhood legislation. The next safeguard is a vote of this council, and it requires 7. That's the process. That's the legislative process created by state law. That's what we follow. We've always followed that under the current framework and the neighborhood legislation. The General Assembly due to this legislative body. This somehow gives carte blanche to everything. No, it doesn't. Planning board has to issue a recommendation. County council has to vote. There is no carte blanche here for anything. There has to be that vote. Whether folks meet the enabling criteria or don't, there still has to be that vote of this legislative body and that input from our professionals and land use and the planning board. My suggestion would be the workshops themselves that were talked about at the land use committee meeting could be very valuable in reviewing the first TID that's proposed by our planning professionals, both at DALDOT and the county. What an excellent way to get more input on an actual TID, such as this hypothetical one, but a real one that we could examine more closely. Certainly we'll go through the same process together then, and everybody can weigh in on whether it makes sense in this particular instance. That's why this is enabling and not the final legislation. We heard some criticism about the amendments today. I was stunned by that. All of you who were involved in the amendment process, in that healthy discussion, I thought that was excellent. I mean, that's an example of people listening to public input from the last meeting and responding to it by proposing amendments, whether they failed or passed tonight. That's part of the legislative process. I applaud that. I think we should all applaud that. And it shouldn't be criticized as some terrible thing. It's the exact thing that this council, I think, should be doing, is listening to the public and responding to those comments as best they can. So I just want to make those additional comments from last week. I appreciate your patience and your time hearing them. I'm happy to answer any questions anyone may have of me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to speak to the
this legislation just a little bit. I spent a lot of time on this, a lot of time this last week, and I want to thank everybody that took the time to talk to me, to share their views, to share information. It was very valuable. And, you know, I wish we were doing that publicly and not just on the phone the week or, and weekend before this legislation. You know, I know that, and I want to, you know, back up and thank Land Use, because this really is groundbreaking, visionary legislation. I mean, I am fully supportive of TIDs, but I didn't find myself there until after I had to also do a lot of research on my own. You know, I found a 67-page report online that talked about how TIDs are funded. They had a lot of other information. They talked about how the TIDs are done nationally in many other states. They're done really well in some states, and others maybe not so good. You know, so I was able to see the differences, which I didn't hear from council. I made sure that I went to the planning board meeting, and I listened to what they had to say during that meeting. This weekend, I called Karen Peterson and asked her for more information in depth about why did the planning board and why were you against this specific legislation? And again, what I was finding is she felt like me. I love now TIDs. I think they are so valuable based on the research that I did. I want to see them in Newcastle County. I like that that DLDOT is doing them throughout the state, and that they have it on their website, you know, and explain it. But I think maybe we can even have a little bit more information. And we can have a discussion about how they're done in other states, and that there's different ways of doing them, not just one way. But what I also noticed is if these are done badly, that we could have a real problem with traffic, congestion, people, it's taking a long time to get to work. So aren't companies going to come here if we're not addressing the traffic issues adequately and they're sitting in traffic? You know, that's something we have to think about. But if we do it really good and we take the time to do this well, how great that is, and how much this helps our county with economic development, with, you know, our constituents supporting what they're doing. Because as I spoke to not only the many people that are here today, but also many of the constituents and why they were against it, they came around and are now for TIDs. They are for this. It's just how this legislation is crafted is probably they're not feeling is tight enough. But they were being told they had a long list of things that they would want changed. And so I say, can you shorten that? Can we bring something forward? Because it's not going to be tabled. And I wanted to see a table. I still think it should have been tabled for more input, because as we saw here, the public was able to express to Dee what they wanted, three things, very specific things. But that conversation on them didn't have to take place in a long meeting tonight. We could have had some of those conversations over this, you know, if we had tabled it over the next week or two. And then come here with everybody knowing a little bit more about TIDs, what the public wanted, and what the business community wanted. And most of those things overlap. We want the same things for our county. We want a better county. We want a prosperous county. These are things that we all want. And I commend Dee for bringing those forward, because that took a lot of courage to do. She knew that this was not going to be popular here today. But she was willing to do it because we listened to the constituents in the county, and we had that discussion, at least on two of them. The public was heard about the problems that they have with it. Whether those amendments are supported or not, they're still heard about the issues that they have with this legislation. And I believe these are conversations that we should have had over the next 2 weeks. We shouldn't have to have it at the last minute in this meeting, because I have been doing this long enough to know that we're not going to be putting the time into the very, very important enabling legislation. Will we, as a body in this council, put the amount of time that we need into a TID? I don't know. I hope we do. But I'm not sure, because this is being rushed through. There's no reason that this had to pass today or not pass. You know, we could have waited 2 weeks and nothing would have changed but more conversation and input by the public and people not only being listened to but heard. Heard and being able to put forth those amendments that they would like to see and have a great councilwoman that was willing to do that for them and that we were listening to what they had to say. And I think we should be doing more of that. That is the legislative process. It's bringing everybody together. Not everybody gets what they want, but you make the legislation better by coming together and discussing it. That's all I have to say. I believe Mr. Hollins wanted to speak, and then Mr. Street.
Well, thank you, Madam President. I do agree that we need to address the challenges of equitable funding for infrastructure improvements, which also drives economic development. However, in my opinion, I don't believe the LOS created a problem. The LOS merely confirmed there is a problem. We don't blame the thermometer for the high fever. And while economic development is a critical measure of the quality of life for all communities, it is not the only measure. We have to balance economic development with issues of public health, the environment, and social justice, which are inextricably linked to the quality of life as well. I support economic development policies that work for everyone and environmental protections that apply to all of our communities. Newcastle County has strapped impediments to fairness in its contracting rules, which deliberately shuts the door in the face of many small and local businesses for reasons other than their performance. DENREC turns a deaf ear to the voices of the communities along Route 9 who have pleaded for a reasonable portion of environmental justice for decades. DLDOT has failed the community on Powell's Lane in the name of economic development for the Port of Wilmington, even though these families were there before the port expansion. All DLDOT has to do is mitigate the speed of the semis that are shaking the foundation of the homes on Powell's Lane and devastating the quality of life for the families there. A number of speakers have spoken tonight to talk about Will Mapco. Mentioning Will Mapco in a very positive light, so you would suggest that Will Mapco is like the Bible of land use and transportation planning. Well, Will Mapco, in May of 2017, put out the Route 9 corridor recommendations for land use and transportation. This is Will Mapco, who sits on the board of Will Mapco, is the Secretary of Transportation for the state of Delaware, Director of Planning for the State of Delaware, and the Newcastle County Executive. The Mapco put out his recommendations about 300 pages long. Briefly, this is what it says in one section. Your logical zoning and development patterns along the Route 9 corridor are the underlying source of several environmental and public health problems here, from poor air quality created by emissions and dust to illegally heavy truck traffic traveling along neighborhood streets such as Powell's Lane. Environmental and public health burdens will continue to be carried by residents here for the foreseeable future. Measures to enforce environmental regulations at industries and deter illegal truck traffic are positive steps but only partial and likely temporary. But nothing has been done on Powell's Lane. This is a DLDOT recommendation from people in the highest offices in the state of Delaware in public office. So for me to believe that suddenly a TID by this body, whatever it says, is going to give me the confidence that it's going to be carried out to give equal opportunity to everybody and to protect all of our communities, I'm not convinced. And while my concerns may not resonate with the majority of the people in this room this evening, I personally know what it's like to be underserved, overlooked, and assigned to the margins of society. I would submit to you, Madam President, that history is not on the side of Newcastle County or the state of Delaware as it relates to inclusion with its hiring or its contracts. And these are facts I simply cannot ignore. While the TID can be a useful tool, I'm not convinced it's the be-all, end-all that can guarantee high-end jobs, not guarantee Delta's ability to keep pace as written. The ordinance seems to present more questions than answers, and I think that's evidenced by tonight of the five different amendments that were submitted by various members of council. Some passed, some didn't. But it just shows that this ordinance needs a lot of work. For me, this ordinance does not address the fundamental issues that I've been fighting for the 28 years I've served in this body. It doesn't get the attention that we've gotten to prepare this TID, and I don't think it ever will. I believe there are enough council members here tonight to pass this ordinance, but it will not pass with my blessings because I continue to feel that the economic development that we're talking about does not work for all people in Newcastle County, and I will be voting no on this ordinance tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Street, and then Mr. Carter.
Well, Senior Councilman, Senior Black elected official, state of Delaware, is hard to follow you because you're very eloquent, say things very politically correct, which I don't do well. The fact of the matter is, for the first time, 14 and a half years I've been in office, I actually contemplated trying to go along and get along and work with the administration. But my heart and my conscience just won't let me do that. From the inception, number one, y'all gonna pass this and that's fine. I'm not so sure it's gonna withstand the legal challenge because in the matter of Barley Mill, 7-6, y'all voted to approve Barley Mill. And you had one councilman say that he couldn't consider traffic, and that's the reason he didn't vote against it. And the board administration challenged that and went running over the courthouse, and all that got reversed. The court was crystal clear in that matter. You can consider traffic. So now, in the instant situation, we're just going to bypass traffic studies. And the only reason I can think of the people want to bypass traffic studies is because they might not like the result. So that was problem number one. Problem number two is the ordinance, the amendments, the conversation, all the discussion. We talk about high salaries and high paying jobs. There's not a scintilla of a discussion about diversity. So, from where I sit, the people that put my behind in office are not going to benefit from this one iota. The people in Rawls districts that call me when they have problems are not going to benefit from this one iota. And if you look at us as a government, when I came into office screaming in 2004 about 4% minority business participation in 2004, and in 2019, it's still 4%. And we run our mouths and we have these arguments and apprentices and apprentice act. The last discussion we had about African Americans and apprentice programs in the state of Delaware, 7%. So job for who? Not for the people who put me in office. We may get some of the jobs down the pier, and that's as far as it will go. We will bring in people from out of state with no commitment to diversity, no commitment to change, but the nightmare that we as a government, because all those little dots up there, if you did them right, they would all fail. We're responsible for the failed roads, the overdevelopment, the congestion that we have today, and the congestion that's going to come about
as a result of this, but based on who I represent and who put me in office, who don't stand to benefit one iota from this, and the clear absence of inclusion or even consideration warrants that I vote no on this, and the will of council be the will of council, but it'll be without me tonight.
I just want to say that, you know, listening to our senior council members and listening to the constituents and listening to the business leaders that are coming in here and speaking, that there are so many, that we had 5 amendments. You know, this legislation needs work. It's not done. You know, this legislation is so important. It affects every single constituent in our county. If we do this good, great. But if we don't do this good, and I don't think we're there, this affects every constituent in the county. And who are they going to blame? They're going to blame us. Us, we are sitting here right now making that decision for them, whether they're going to sit in traffic or not, or businesses are going to come in or not. And what is very clear to me is we are not there. We haven't had enough discussion, even between ourselves. I went to the planning board meeting and listened there, and then we had an hour and a half discussion this past week on this legislation, and it wasn't finished until then. And then we have 5 amendments that come up in the last couple of days over a holiday weekend that you can't really speak to everybody about it. So this really, you know, even now, to vote this up, I think, is a mistake. But to not move forward with the TID legislation is even a greater mistake. And that's why these conversations, really, this needs to continue. And, we just have to do this well. It affects everybody. Let's see, Mr. Carter.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm going to briefly touch on 3 issues. One that concerns me in terms of the ripeness of this legislation. Another one of my concerns even with the amendment of defining economics. And the third one, the lack of democratic participation that has plagued the planning profession forever and is alive and well here. I agree this is not nearly ripe. I stated that very clearly and called for the need for a workshop to bring everyone together. I feel as if a predetermined outcome was set and driven through for the TID. We did not look at a balanced approach, looking at social return on investment and other things that should go into any sound economic analysis. For those who don't know, economic analysis does look at some of those social issues and other issues if it's done well. And I've done that at the PhD level, which is why I couldn't vote on that ordinance with those 5 little bullets, because it told me very little. It wasn't there. You know, we also didn't do a good alternative analysis at the start. I didn't see a good analysis of, you know, when transportation improvement districts work the best, when transportation corporations may work well, when tax increment financing that we can fund things up front could work, when share fair mitigation could be used, when transportation impact fees, perhaps working with our state legislation, could be used, and how we could more strongly use our variances if we could do a sound review. I already mentioned the economics. I don't know what it meant in that legislation to me, it's clearly, and the lack of an analysis of the social return of investment, how will we balance quality of life issue impacts. If you talk to me about economic analysis, it has to be more than just the business promotion. I need to hear about community development corporations for that sector that desperately needs a grassroots, community-based economic planning, which is quite different but does have transportation impacts and other things. I heard no discussion of that, none whatsoever, and I think that's a disservice. You know, we talk about details and guidance. There are things that we need flexibility with, but there are things that we clearly could tighten down on. And through a workshop, through some further discussions, we could get a lot better level of comfort. We could maybe get informed consent from many people and ensure its success.
because, you know, one of the things that really does affect the long-term success of any public policy is whether or not you can generate a reasonable amount of public support for it, not just push it through. But the most concerning one for me is what I perceive as a lack of clear democratic participation on this. I did attend several of those workshops. The legislation, in my view, didn't do it. For me, it reflects the concerning level of institutional arrogance, to be quite honest with you. I went back as I was looking through this, and I pulled out 50 years ago the landmark paper for public participation for the American Planning Association by Sherry Arnstein. Talks about the levels of participation, and it really criticized planning in the age of urban renewal, where we were taking African American communities and bulldozing them down without the public participation and all of the problems, and then we did adjust to it. Now we seem to be pushing back towards strictly efficiency and not that balance with democratic participation. And it's not so much the people in wealthier suburbs that I'm concerned about democratic participation. It's the people who really are working 2 and 3 jobs at minimum wage and can't get out to look out for themselves. And we need to find a way, if we're going to do this, to make sure that's included. I was appalled, actually, with part of the Route 9 study that was mentioned by my council colleague when they put out a survey of who had to be relocated and not, and it read like a push survey to me. As somebody who does survey research, it was appalling. But I'm really concerned as I look at this that our planners haven't learned to balance this public participation and the need for efficiency. There is a balance. That balance needs to be focused in large part not just on economics but also on the social return of investment. You know, we do need, you know, to take a better look at it. The last issue of the American Planning Association dedicated their entire issue to where we have come and not come in 50 years of planning for public participation. Over 200 peer-reviewed articles in that. And I would urge all of our planners to take the time out of their day and read some of those really good pieces of literature that give us some guidance. When I look at this ordinance, it looks to me like, you know, well, it's enabling. We're glad we pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. But I do believe some people will be very hungry at the end of the day and at the end of next week. And I'm just concerned. I think if we had more time, if we had done the workshops, we could have addressed these things. This crazy fiasco of this week and these floor amendments did not help me. And I just, as a councilman, am not comfortable moving forward with this level of mediocrity. I think we can do a lot better. I think the public deserves us to do a lot better. We need to change the way we do traffic planning, but we need to do it a lot better than this.
Thank you. Ms. Kilpatrick?
Thank you. I just want to remind you that some of these amendments that we've seen tonight coming through came in January. They were put in by a member of the public, and basically what they did was try to gut the bill. If we're going to gut the bill, then why are we sitting here for hours arguing about this? So we know that there are certain people within the public that knew about this quite a while ago and have been working for or against it for many, many months. I would like to talk to Councilman Hollins after. I think we need to have a discussion on Piles Lane. We know that there is public support for this. I know that I have been told by my umbrella Civic Association, that Mr. Dunn has called around and asked everybody to come in tonight and talk against this, and I know that GADA, the Greater Hokusan Area Development Association, has told him no, that they were fine with this. So I don't know, for everything that Mr. Carter just said, how it's better to continue doing it parcel by parcel as we have been for heaven knows how many years now.
Well, I can only say that I don't believe that, and I do support the TIDs. But I also am going to listen to people who have more experience than me. You know, I'm going to read everything I can, which I did. You know, I'm going to talk to former Senator Peterson, who is head of our planning board,
that the county executive chose. And the planning board voted against this. And when I spoke to her, she's not against this. But it needs work. And she was very specific in what work it does need. She was told that she just doesn't understand it. Well, let me tell you, she was the president of council. She was a senator for the state of Delaware. No one would know better how Del Dot and the county can work in order to make things work better than her. But she also knows the problems we're going to have. So we should be listening to what those issues are and addressing them, and not in an hour and a half meeting and then in a council meeting when we're voting. I think, you know, we needed more time. We needed more input from other people. We needed to hear from the constituents in Mr. Hollins' district, in Mr. Street's district. I didn't hear from any of those, and I tried my best to get to everybody I could in the last week and worked over the entire weekend. I didn't make any public functions because I was working. Because we were going to rush this through without delaying it, and it was going to be voted on Tuesday, the day that we get back from a long holiday. You know, and there was no good reason why it has to be rushed. If we want good legislation, take the time to make it good. Listen to everybody. And the answer might be that we don't incorporate what they're suggesting. But we should certainly listen to it. I didn't hear about it months ago. I heard about it now. And I want to hear about it. I want us to have a discussion on what people care about. And we may not all agree. I might not agree with them. They might not agree with me. But I still want to know what they think and the problems they think that we may have on that. Ms. Kirkpatrick.
The basic premise is, if everybody needed an amendment, where were the amendments? We asked people to send the amendments in. We asked them to send them to the department. They can send them to the Land Use Committee. They can send them to you. And basically, the two amendments that passed, one came from you, and the other one came from Mr. Tackett and Mr. Sheldon. So it was put out there. The public had a chance to respond, and over years. We talked about this prior to Mr. Gordon's administration, and then it sat on the table. And in this administration, it was brought out. We talked about it. We are never going to, on this council or any council, talk about it long enough that we come to an absolute consensus. That's why government works the way it does. We vote the majority of the people, and I don't know that there's a majority voting here tonight. I mean, right now I see it pretty much split down the middle. There was no determination as to what this was going to be and how this was going to turn out. We changed working with the department. We, with them, went over several amendments to try to tighten some of the things up as we heard about them in different meetings. But we know that half this council is not going to vote for this. Dave and I are sponsors on this because we are co-chairs of this committee. But there's six people here tonight to talk against this. We've had nights where we've had 100 people in this room to talk against something. Where are they? If they are so concerned, where are they? I didn't get the emails. Dave didn't get the emails. And they're not here tonight.
Ms. Durham.
Quickly, I just add, there were at least 15 people that spoke at the planning board hearing and until it was midnight, and after many people had already left, given up and gone home. The planning board itself asked for this to be tabled for further discussion, and you're never going to get 100% support probably for any ordinance that is like this. But I do agree that the discussion tonight, the denial by the planning board, the discussion last week, the amendments, everything are indications that this ordinance was not right to be brought for a vote tonight, and I do wish we had just a little more time to at least try to assuage some of the concerns that were mentioned by members of the public. And at the risk of beating a dead horse, I don't want to repeat comments that I've already made, but I'll just mention two more things, that being that one amendment that I wanted to put forward, but I couldn't quite figure out how to do it, the ordinance does talk about the transit system, but I think the bottom line is you can't build your way out of congestion, and we should be doing far more to fostering our transit system that goes concurrently with any increase in development and density, rather than trying to think that we can build our way at any of these intersections out of level E or F. It's a fruitless, expensive task. And if you really want to think outside the box, this is not thinking outside the box in terms of sustainable transportation. We should be thinking transit, getting people out of their cars and into either buses or riding their bikes, walking, whatever. But you can't build these intersections to accommodate the growth that's being projected and being encouraged to happen through this and other methods. I also just wanted to say something that I mentioned last week, that again, the increase or the fostering of economic development and density in the appropriate places, I understand it, but it should not be being done without concurrent TDRs and open space preservation. And I'm just disappointed that those programs have basically been given short shrift over many years, and should be a key corollary to this sort of program as well.
Thank you. Mr. Cardiac?
Thank you. I'm glad that Councilwoman Durham understands the value of mass transit in addressing transportation needs in this county. That's why this ordinance is very important. The transit improvement district and the complete communities provision in this ordinance provides us a window for a multimodal shift, the beginnings of a multimodal shift away from the single occupancy car into things like bicycling, walking, mass transit of all kinds. In fact, the Complete Community Enterprise District has, I think, can be applied, if we dare to be bold enough to pass this, for the Claymont region, where we are building a $70 million new commuter rail station, and we can incorporate the multimodal shift away from the single occupancy vehicle. You know, you have to start somewhere legislatively. You can't have, as another expression goes, let's not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I think we have a good ordinance in front of us. I think that it has tremendous merit. It is an enabling piece of legislation. When you go to create a TID, we can incorporate greater detail for folks. But I think, this is the opening window into the multimodal shift, handling transportation not simply as the single occupancy car and the limitations of the road system. So I find this, a very compelling ordinance, and I think we should, get the political world together to vote for it.
Are there any other comments by members of council? Mr. Stroot.
Very briefly. Going forward, I would hope that we would reduce the public perception, and the former president of council hated me saying it, and I love saying it just because he hated me saying it. But the public perception on this is it reeks of mischief. And the reason for that is you rushed it through. You said last week, we're going to vote it up or down. It's got to be done now. Rushed the amendments through over the weekend. And it just is not going to give, even if there's no mischief involved, the public perception that there is, the way it was done this time, doesn't help us as a government in the public perception of how we operate.
Thank you. Are there any other comments?
I'm so glad everybody took a bite. That's the most polluting thing here. We can bullshit about everything else. The most biggest pollutant is cars. And we all drive one. Nobody has an electric car, I know. It's sad sometimes. I got to talk. And I swear to God I wasn't going to. But, you know, everybody's an expert here. Everybody expert. Everybody wants something. But we need to do something to progress to start. If every amendment and every vote was it's not good enough, we wouldn't be here or nowhere close to being anything of a country, let alone just a county. I mean, it kills me sometimes when you got to start somewhere. That's it. We're just going to leave here and keep doing the same. People going to say, yeah, we stopped that. And the very next civic meeting, they're going to bitch and complain about the traffic. You guys don't do anything. You don't do enough. We don't trust you. Well, there's a slot, you know, the first Tuesday in November to get rid of the people that you don't trust. Very simple. It's called a vote. And unfortunately, 60% vote, 40% don't know. So, look, I was a no vote at the beginning. I did put an amendment in. It passed. I can't moan about that. And it is something. And as far as people needing jobs, especially if they're minorities, the refinery needs people. But we know from the unions are asking all people from all walks of life because they need people. There's no excuse if you need a job, they are hiring. Local 74 just did it. Local 199 is doing it. Kent, Local 19 just did it. It does help people in your district, whether you think so or not. That day is going long when unemployment is the lowest in Delaware it's ever been.
Lowest for who? Lowest for who, Timmy?
Work for the African-American man.
Okay. You keep on maintaining that perception.
Okay, that's all.
I just want to say one thing in closing, and no one that I have talked to, and no one, so I don't want anybody leaving with the perception that this is, people trying to hear are trying to kill it. The ones I talked to are not. They want this legislation. It needs a little bit of work, a little bit more input, but I want to make sure everybody knows this legislation is not something I'm trying to kill. I want to work on it. I want to, if it doesn't pass tonight, I'd like to bring it back. I think it probably will pass. I think it probably has a vote, but, you know, this is not legislation that anybody that I spoke to is trying to stop. They want this type of legislation. They want the TIDs. We just might not all agree on how to get there. But you know what? People deserve to have time to give their input, and I think that we should have given them the time, and that's what I'm arguing for, is that we did not give everybody the time. It was rushed through this weekend. I worked all weekend. We did 5 amendments were done in a rush over the weekend where everybody couldn't review them. So I just want to be clear that if I don't vote for this, it is not because I'm against it. And I believe I'm probably going to vote just present because I don't even want to give the impression that I am not for this. I am for it. But I think I believe it still needs work. The Planning Commission believes it still needs work. Mr. Smiley.
Yeah. Like Councilman Sheldon, I have no intentions of speaking, but I've heard it over and over, so I just want to get on the record. This constant repeating that the legislation was rushed. Let's just clarify for the record. This legislation was produced, heard, and went through the process within all of the legal parameters of council rules and the county rules. If there is a problem with the time frame of legislation moving through the county process in this council, then the proper step is to move forward with legislation to change those rules to create greater time before the legislation can be culminated from the beginning. Understanding that those people who do not support a piece of legislation, whether it be a member of public or a council member, there will never be enough time. But just so it's clear on the record, the term rushed does not mean any corners were cut or any rules were violated. I've been accused of this too many times in the past to sit here and have it put out there and people leave with the perception that this council did something wrong to bring us to floor for a vote tonight. It met every requirement, and I just think that needs to be on the record.
That's Mr. Scullin, what would it have hurt to table it to the next meeting?
Not my legislation, not my debate on what it would hurt. The point being, to use the term over and over repeatedly rushed implies that it did not follow the proper protocol in this council. And it did. That's the only thing I want clear on the record. It met the criteria, it met the process, and it went through the due process to become legislation. And as for tip, I had a piece I didn't table. I spent 9 months on it, had the public hearings and everything else. It got voted down. No way, and you know what, was I tabling something that I had worked 9 months on and been through the public, even though I knew it was going down. So sometimes you don't. My only point with my closing comments for me, and the only comments I made tonight, is to clarify that the process that is legal and due was followed by all parties. That's all.
Are there any other comments, Mr. Street?
Let the record show that there was profanity used on council floor tonight, and Street didn't do it.
And neither did Smiley.
Duly noted, Mr. Street.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from members of council? Seeing done, let's move forward on ordinance number 019005 as amended by floor amendments number 1 and 2. Madam Clerk, please call the roll. Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
No.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Ms. Diller.
Yes.
Ms. Drum.
No.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel.
No.
Mr. Holland.
No.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Mr. Shadden.
Yes.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
Mr. Street.
No.
Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilkes.
Yes.
Madam President, the rule reveals 8 yes, 5 no. Ordinance number 019-005 as amended by floor amendments number 1 and 2 passes. Next, we have Ms. Diller, got it. A note here we added. Ms. Diller, it's Newark legislation.
Okay. I thought we were going to do it under emergency ordinances, but yes. I move that R-19-095 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Resolution 19095, supporting the request by the City of Newark that the Delaware General Assembly allow an amendment to the City of Newark's Municipal Charter to authorize sewer service in unincorporated areas without annexation.
We had a discussion about this during the Finance Committee. This was requested by members of the Newark delegation to the General Assembly to show our support for the request for the charter change.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Ms. Kilpatrick?
Thank you. I just want to say, and I think I said part of this upstairs, that I want to support this. There are communities within my district that will benefit greatly from this.
Thank you. And I'm asking to be a co-sponsor?
Sure. No problem.
Very good, Ms. Diller. Are there any other questions or comments from members of council? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Madam President. Look, I'm really glad to be able to support this tonight, and hopefully the General Assembly will go ahead and amend the charter for the City of Newark so that we can provide sewer service to the outlying areas, and hopefully this removes a lot of the impulse for annexation, which I know has caused, you know, a lot of concern in the greater Newark area.
Thank you. I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R19095. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cardian?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. R19097 is passed.
Five.
R95.
And Ms. Did Bell bring one for, he gave me a note for one, for, he just had me write this one in. Is this one added?
Okay, we have one added at the last minute here is R19097, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that resolution number 19-097 be read by title only, placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Resolution 19097, honoring the life of Gladys M. Reese and expressing condolences to her family and friends. Mr. Bell?
As per title, Madam President.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R19097. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Cardian?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Durham?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. R19097 is passed. Next, does anyone from the public wish to address council? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The meeting is adjourned.